fix is in. I can fix it. I alone can fix it. Hey, are you Mr. Fix-It? Yeah, we're going to talk about fixing things today in a special online-only episode of our podcast. So stay tuned as we discuss how can we fix things right here, right now, on the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and as I mentioned, this is an online-only episode of our podcast. Normally, we simulcast. We also play this on WKTJ in Farmington. But ironically, for the topic of the day, they had a computer failure last week, and so we are behind a show. So rather than get all out of sync, we're just going to do this show this week, and then the show that was supposed to play last week will play next week, and we'll post it on our podcast as well. So a little bit of behind-the-scenes technical thing, but their computer was down. And of course, anyone who's had a computer knows computers go down, and you have to fix them and whatever. So their computer was broke, and that goes with our thought of today, which is about fixing things. Because, man, now, I think every human being likes things to be fixed, but my observation has been that guys especially like to fix things, and because guys like to fix things, we tend to cause problems in our relationships, because when we enter into relationships with people, particularly wives and girlfriends and things like that, we tend to take that mentality of fixing things, and that doesn't always go well, because we're looking for the fix, and sometimes the quick fix, and sometimes there isn't such a thing, and it just leads us on some bad approaches at times. And then, of course, what do you do when something doesn't have a fix or can't be quickly fixed? Well, then it's tough. So my, of course, favorite story, or non-favorite story, was when I had somebody come over, actually a friend did it, to fix my heater that I had a, here in the new house, I had a gas heater in the garage that I thought would be cool to try to use, and it wouldn't heat, and I tried everything, and it just wouldn't heat. And turns out, helpful hint, you can write this down, that if the gas is off, gas heaters do not heat well if they're not, the gas is off. So yeah, I learned that. So we're going to talk today about fixing things and our lives. Because sometimes life gets a little broken. Whether it be relationships or, you know, marriages, of course our health. But sometimes we live in a world that at times is very broken. We see that very clearly in our politics and government, and not just United States. Government around the world tends to be rather broken, some more broken than others, but usually just broken in different ways. And then, man, things get broken. Trust gets broken. Our bodies break down and don't always work the right way. Sometimes just our thinking can go really wrong. And I've got a bunch of friends in my life right now who in different ways are all dealing with broken situations. Some of them are dealing with broken marriages. Some of them are dealing with broken bodies. Some of them are dealing with broken hearts, you know, a loved one passed away or something like that. Some of them are dealing with just broken minds in that they struggle with their thinking. In all these cases, they are struggling with brokenness. And man, when we encounter broken people, and I think this can be especially true of guys, but also I think it can be very true of people who, well, it's true of everyone, I guess it's not even just, I was going to say just true of Christians, but I don't think so. I just think that as Christians, sometimes we reach for a tool that maybe somebody who's not a person of faith doesn't have. But the tendency to, whoever we are, when we encounter a broken person, we want to help fix them. And I think that comes from a wonderful place. You know, you hate to see a person struggling with brokenness, and we hate broken things, and so we want to fix them because that's better. Which, you know, duh, well, obviously, fixed is better than broken. But because of that desire to fix things, sometimes we do more harm than good, even though our intentions are wonderful. And in fact, perhaps we are less apt to understand the harm we're likely to do because we're fooled by our intentions. Since I am trying to do a good thing, how could that be bad? And yet, obviously, sometimes a good intention does not lead to a good outcome or a good action. And we know that, but in the moment we tend to not think through that. But I think especially when we start talking about faith and God, that we can reach for some tools that we think will fix things that particularly do not help. And the reason that isn't, and that's why I wanted to talk about on the podcast today, I think the reason for that is that we misunderstand God and our lives and this world. And because we have this misunderstanding and a misunderstanding of what the Bible is and what the Bible says, because of this misunderstanding, we then use it as a tool in the wrong way, kind of like using a hammer on a screw when it's not meant to be hammered. So the first thing that I think we need to really think about when it talks about trying to fix things and fix people who are broken is to understand what God's intention is and what the Bible was given to us for. Because I think by starting with a basic assumption there, then we can move in a more healthy direction when it comes to relating to each other as we encounter brokenness. And even as we deal with our own brokenness and how we understand our own brokenness. Because, and so here's the basic, I think, misunderstanding. That we think that the Bible contains solutions to our brokenness. And because we believe that the Bible contains solutions and that along with that it is God's plan to fix all our brokenness, we therefore go grabbing at things in the Bible to try to fix it. And yet, if we really just stop and lay that assumption aside for a minute and listen to the Bible and look at what the Bible says and look at what happens in the Bible, we find a very different reality that is actually more helpful because it's more honest and true to our experience. And I mean, obviously in a podcast of this length, we don't have time to go deep and grab everything, but here's a few things. When David messed up, David let his libido get ahead of him and he grabbed a woman, not his wife. And then through his power as a king, he arranged to have the husband have an accident and die, and so that he could then marry the woman and hide the fact that he had cheated with her and got her pregnant. And when he's confronted with this, which it takes a year before he really comes to grips with what he's done and God finally gets his attention, and then he's devastated, he's broken, and he has a great prayer where he cries out to God in his brokenness, and yet he says something really interesting. He says, "Let the bones that you have broken," speaking to God, "let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Let the bones you have broken rejoice." And he talks about the fact that he's a broken man, and that he needs to rejoice in that. In the New Testament, Paul tells us that because he was dealing with such great revelations that God allowed him to be plagued by a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And he said three times he begged God to take that away. And God's response was no. God refused to fix it. Instead, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness." And we know that Jesus, before he goes to the cross, he says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he spends all night praying to God to fix the situation. And of course, the answer is no. And when we see, and that's just three quick glimpses of God looking at a broken situation and saying, yeah, we're going to leave it broken. And in your brokenness, we're going to accomplish things. And that, boy, grabbing hold of that can actually be a little comforting because, see, the problem, the destructiveness of fixes is oftentimes that somebody comes along with a Band-Aid and we're dealing with an amputation here and the Band-Aid isn't going to work, and the fact that they think it's going to work and slap this little Band-Aid on and then think they've done us a favor hurts. It almost hurts more than the original injury in a way, because we're like, you think that helped? And sometimes just realizing, there isn't an easy fix. And in fact, there may not be a fix at all, at least not for now. And Jesus says to his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but I give you my peace." He doesn't say, "I'm going to do away with your trouble." Now, eventually, there is going to come a day when it's all fixed. There is going to come the time when death and sickness and injustice and brokenness will finally be healed. But we're not there yet. Not even close. I mean, I don't know how close we are, I guess I should say. But it's not right now. It's not today. When it comes, it's going to come on us all of a sudden. And boy, that'll be a great day. But God doesn't tell us it's going to be okay right now. He says, "Don't worry, I'm in control. And in your brokenness, I'm working. And I will fix everything, but right now, the brokenness is part of the plan." And in fact, the Bible says all of creation is groaning and waiting, because all of creation is broken and waiting, waiting for the day when the brokenness will end. And I don't know about you, but for me, there's a kind of a comfort there, because now you're telling me the truth. And it helps me know that as I deal with brokenness, that sometimes I just got to deal with it and just be broken. And to know that brokenness is not pointless and it's not eternal, but that it is my reality now. And that's what Jesus said, "In this world you have trouble, I give you my peace." And that peace doesn't mean that I feel better. It means that I can hold on. And that's what Paul said. I can deal with this. I can just deal with it. And sometimes we want a fix is to make it go away. And God says, no, it's not going to go away. You just got to deal with it. Just endure. And the Bible says a lot about enduring. And we just need to endure. And when we know that, then we can kind of relax and say, okay, I don't have to fix this. And then I can just weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, and rejoice with those who rejoice. And I don't need to have a fix. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.